Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah, I haven't even really had the chance to process this. I'm just thinking about, I was planning on being here tomorrow. So just letting Scott and handle that this offseason. I haven't even really thought about it. I was being serious when I said that earlier during the year. I wanted to focus on baseball, competing and winning. Been fortunate enough to win a lot here over the last 9 years, and it's been an honor to play in front of these fans and compete for the city.
I would say Bregman wound up having the type of season where most Astro fans at the right price would like Alex Bregman back for a long time. You know, for, you know, 5-6 years, whatever.
Yeah,
that is.
You know what? I bet it's more split. You should do a Pender poll on this.
I think I will.
Do a Pender poll and give the Matt Chapman contract
as the baseline.
Right. Because I do think it's, you know, let's not forget the various times where the majority of the fan base seems out on Bregman when he goes through his long droughts. Because they're long. When he has a drought, he doesn't. They're like Dust Bowl era droughts when he has droughts. So with Bregman, you're kind of a prisoner of the moment a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So you see MVP caliber Bregman for a little while, and then all of a sudden you see bottom of the barrel, never defensively, but bottom of the barrel offensively Bregman.
Offensively, for sure.
So I wonder, I wonder right now, coming off of...
He was so bad early this year.
He was awful.
He was a notoriously slow starter.
Yeah, Brandy, that's right, yeah. Brandy. Brandy, that's the one drop Brandy doesn't like, because she's afraid that people don't realize she was making fun of me.
That's not her voice.
She was sticking up for Bregman, yeah.
That's Brandy in person. Play it one more time, Ben, to be clear. For everybody who has heard that before or hasn't heard it before and just doesn't know the backstory, this is Brandy impersonating Seth very sarcastically.
Oh, he's a notoriously slow starter.
I never thought that there might be people who think that's my wife's real voice.
She sounds hot.
He must have known her in high school. Boy, it's very loyal for him to stick by her all these years.
A lot to make up for that voice. That's funny. So let's hear more from Alex Bregman. He just said, we're letting Scott do his thing. Scott is Scott Boras. That's his agent. He's going to let him handle that. Bregman says he would like to stay in Houston.
We'll see what happens. I mean, I'm going to let Scott and the team handle that. And obviously, it's... free agency, and I've never experienced that before, and I'll let him and all the teams handle that.
You know, it's interesting with his relationship with Scott Boras, his agent. Remember, Bregman signed that extension and then fired his agent, so his agent keeps getting the commission from that contract. Boras has been his agent unpaid for multiple years now. Mm-hmm. So as I don't think you make a move like that where after you sign an extension that, you know, took away your free agency opportunity as early as it
Maybe
could
some
be.
Security.
Yeah, but then you go and fire the guy that got you that extension and then hire a guy who is most notable and or notorious for getting huge free agency signings without having an eye towards free agency.
Alex has a goal.
Alex, right. I'll be very surprised if he does not test free agency just because this has been multiple years in the making. Now, on the flip side of the coin, it's not like having Scott Boras as your agent doesn't mean that you're going to test free agency. We've seen twice now Altuve take extensions with Scott Boras as his agent. We saw Matt Chapman, the other third baseman who was represented by Scott Boras, take an extension without testing free agency.
Yep.
It just feels like the way that Bregman did all of this, that he was pot committed from the get-go in hiring Scott Boras here. Now, maybe I'm completely wrong on that, but that's just what it feels like.
No, if you're reading the tea leaves, if you had to bet, I would bet on the guy firing his agent and hiring Boras to have some sort of goal in mind.
And now, where you're a month away from free agency and there's no threat of injury or anything, it would be really weird if he signed an extension before free agency. Yeah,
unless they just money whipped him, you know what I mean? I don't think the Astros are going to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to do that. So I put up the poll per your request. Tender poll for Astro fans. Would you give Alex Bregman the Matt Chapman contract? Six years, $151 million. Four votes in.
Oh.
Three yeses, one no.
Ooh, that's the same
I expect several hundred
That's
more
Anthony
votes.
Richardson's passing performance from last week. Here's 3-for-4.
I love how fixated you are on his completion percentage.
You know what? I was surprised. His completion percentage right now, I think it is above 50%. Just based on that 1-3 out of 4 performance.
Really? Well, he was right at 50%.
He was right because he was a little bit below 50% in the Texans game.
9 of 19 against the Texans, and he was exactly 50%
okay, so
two.
That 3 of 4, that one
that got him over the top, yeah.
Made him, good for you, Anthony Richardson.
Good job, A. Rich.
He'll get to 51% someday.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's at 50.6% right now.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to hold off on updating you on these results. I'm going to give this poll like an hour to simmer.
Okay.
And then have you guess
you
where
said
you
usually
think.
After about an hour, it...
yeah, you get,
it,
to, you get to a few to hundred votes that. And yeah. It kind of...
Sample size is okay.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of holds form. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Like, clearly 4 votes were too few to draw any conclusions, mm-hmm. It would appear. Let's hear from Jose Altuve. Supremely confident, it would appear, delusional perhaps, that Alex Bregman is going to be coming back. Now... Other than Bregman's family, nobody spends more time with Alex Bregman than Jose Altuve and his teammates. Mm-hmm. And nobody's been around Bregman longer in this organization than Jose Altuve. Jose Altuve does not want to think about yesterday being Bregman's last game.
I don't want to get to the idea of thinking about last game with Breggy. Like I said 2 weeks ago, I'm pretty confident that he's going to be our third baseman next year. We have to. He's... You know, we're not going to be the same organization without him. So, in my mind, there's not a chance that this is the last game.
In my mind, there's not a chance. Okay, so you brought up the Kubler-Ross 5 stages of grief
stages
scale.
Stages of grief. Grief.
This is... yes. Stage 1 is denial, right?
Yeah.
Stage 1 is denial. That is clear denial right there.
You know what?
I don't want to think about it. I choose to believe he's going to be
okay,
with us.
This is the thing that I've been trying to evaluate with a lot of the things that Astros have said about Alex Bregman yeah. is, all right, are they betraying any knowledge that they might have? Are they betraying that they, like, are they showing that they might have some inside knowledge or info about it? Like, which is dicey because it's what you don't want to hurt the guy's negotiating stance or anything.
No, but this is the second time Altuve's done
right,
this.
Right, but there's nothing that I've read from Altuve in the way he says it that sounds like, oh yeah, there's something in the works.
He's
and
a
it's
plant.
Probably going to happen. It feels more like how he feels about it emotionally.
Yeah.
But also, who knows? I don't know if Altuve operates this way or not, but maybe in whatever subtle way he can, putting some pressure on the organization. Sending a message to the organization that, like, hey, we really, really care about this
guy. 4 more cuts. You want to make a determination on this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does he have inside info?
Here is, or is he, putting pressure on the organization?
Yeah.
Here's Jose Altuve saying Bregman has earned a big contract.
He means a lot. He gave a lot to this organization, so now it's time for us to... As a team, as an organization, to pay him back and make him stay here.
That's putting pressure on him.
That's
putting pressure on
that's
him.
That's a strong 8 seconds
and
from Altuve right
there. If
there
is any insider info that he has, it almost feels like he feels like Bregman's not going to be here.
Do we recall Altuve ever saying anything like that about Springer?
About what the organization
or
needs
Correa,
to do. Right. No,
or
I think
Cole.
In my mind,
he
please,
literally
anybody,
loves Justin Verlander.
Please, listeners, fact check me on this because in my mind, it's always been the diplomatic, like, yeah, hey, you know, it is what it is. The business being the business, and guys are going to do whatever. Like, I don't ever recall him speaking kind of this passionately about retaining
a
guy.
He's basically telling Jim Crane what to do right there, almost. Mm. Play that one more time, Ben. It's a short one. Bregman has earned the big contract. Here, tell us again, Jose, one more
time. He means a lot. He gave a lot to this organization, so now it's time for us to, as a team, as an organization, to pay him back and make him stay here.
It's time to pay him back and make him stay here.
Yeah.
That's pretty emphatic.
Make him stay here. Sounds like he's strong-arming Bregman on this, too. He might be.
This is saucy Altuve, man.
This is Altuve.
This is the Altuve that gets ejected from games.
Yeah, this is Altuve injecting himself into Middle East foreign policy. He's like, hey, listen, you two. This is simple. I don't want to hear about how difficult
enough
it is.
Enough with the missiles.
We're going to get in a room together, and we're going to fix this
That's
thing.
It.
That always works out well.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
But it does. It feels like he's saying to both parties there,
right.
Listen, Breggy.
Yeah.
Listen, Crane.
Yeah.
You figure this out.
Okay.
And then he refers to himself in the third person. Jose Altuve does not want to be playing baseball next year without
that
Alex
Bregman.
That would
be something. If Altuve, that would be the last step. Altuve referring to himself in the third person.
Yeah.
All right, you want some more Altuve? I got more Altuve for you. He thinks that Bregman is the one that is going to end the run of free agents leaving the team.
Obviously, a lot of great players came here from minor league, and they had to go to another team. But I'm pretty, like I said, again, confident that Reggie's going to stay here. He's, you know, he's our leader. He's our, probably one of our best players in franchise history. So he deserves to stay here.
I'll tell you what, we still have two more Altuve cuts to play. Three cuts in, he is painting the organization into a corner right now. Altuve is.
He's pitting himself against the organization.
In a way, he is. Yeah. I don't want to overstate it or get too hyperbolic about
it.
But
remember,
this is the strongest opinions that Jose Altuve has ever had.
This is Altuve. He's been ejected from games three times this year. Was it three times? This is spicy Altuve.
Right.
This is the version of Altuve we haven't seen.
Right.
I think this is almost like grumpy old man Altuve this year.
Yes.
He gets ejected on the reg. He's telling Jim Crane basically, listen, this guy's staying here.
Right.
You're gonna figure it out.
You can't eject me. And if you eject me, you owe me $150 million.
Yeah.
You want two more?
Yeah, I'm getting into it.
All right, let's go.
I was kind of on the fence about Bregman and how they should handle him myself, but now I'm scared of Altuve.
No, Altuve's got me completely gaslit right now. I'm bringing Bregman back. I'm like, yes, I'm all in. $40 million a year for 12 years, Alex Bregman. here's Altuve. Once again, saying Bregman should never play with another team.
I think I'm not saying anything that is not true. I think he deserves someone, it can be me as other player, to talk like him. And, you know, because he's, like I said, he's our leader. Since the day he got here, the whole organization changed in a better direction. He made this team way better. So, like I said, I think that is hopefully a big chance for him to stay here, and not only that, to retire here.
Yeah, I can't. He's never been close to this level of adamant
on anything,
on a potentially departing free agent. No,
yeah, and that's fine. I'm not. None of us have been clamoring for hot takes by Altuve or anything like that.
Altuve's had enough, and he's not going to take it anymore.
Well,
he's drawing a firm line.
There is this. Altuve is what, 34 years old now? Going to be 35. And I know he's won a couple championships. He'll walk into the Hall of Fame, despite all the trash can stuff. He will be a Hall of Famer. But you like those parades, man. You like winning those rings. And the more rings you win, the higher you're thought of as an individual, and the organization is more well thought of, and you want to keep the dynasty going. Altuve doesn't have that many more. You know, he's only got so many more looks at this thing.
Yeah.
You know, at age 34, 35.
But then we also fall into that category of aging great players and their managerial decisions, whether it be LeBron James or anybody else. Sometimes they let their personal biases and feelings start to seep in more than they
I'm
should.
Fine with this one.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
Based on, honestly, Bregman's value as a leader and as the ultimate kind of Astros mentality that sustained them through that run.
And what's the plan B? What's the plan B if Bregman leaves?
Yeah.
You're going to get significantly worse at third base. Mm-hmm. I feel strongly about that.
Altuve could say, like, hey, did you see me in the field yesterday? You want more of that? You're like, I cannot be, out there in an infield that includes me and some other guy like me.
How funny would that be? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. We cannot have two of the other two of the three non-first basemen not be able to throw to first base.
You guys want me playing third base? Come on.
Last one from Altuve. He said he had a moment with Bregman after the game and told Bregman, you're coming back.
I said everything that I said about him and the kind of player and person he is, will be, like I said, heartbroken. And I'm, you know, just putting on my mind that I'm going to play with him next year. I told him as soon as the game was over that he's coming back. And, you know, now it's time to make it happen.
He told him he's coming back.
I mean, Altuve is just bossing everybody.
You're coming back. He's going to...
Crane, you're going to pay him. Bregman, you're coming back. Dana, you look nice in that suit right there.
Yeah.
But he's just...
I wonder if... Yeah, I can... like, this different version of Altuve that we've seen this
bossy
year.
Bossy Altuve.
I can see him walking into a boardroom in a $5,000 suit and just laying down how it's going to be. You know, like, this is it. And then I'll have a good PowerPoint presentation.
For sure he will. Yeah, no,
he's... Be more image-focused than statistical.
Most soft-spoken, bossy person I've ever heard.
You know who he is. He's Gus. In
Breaking Bad?
In Breaking Bad.
Gus Fring. Yeah.
That was the guy, right? The guy that owned the chicken
Poyos
joints.
Hermanos? Yes.
Yeah. That's who he is. He's Gus. He's understated, yeah. but scary AF.
Hope it ends better for him than it did for Gus.
And he's like the Terminator. Made of flesh and
I
bone.
Like Altuve's yeah. face just the way it is. Spoiler alert.
Go Menendez brothers.
Oh, my God. All right, so of all those cuts we just played, which was the bossiest of Altuve? When he in 8 seconds, basically told the organization he's earned the big contract. Bregman ends the run of free agents playing.
I think the cut six. I think
cut six.
Bregman should never play.
Should
with
never play.
Team.
Okay, play. So this is we vote this one the bossiest of bossy Altuve. Right?
I think I'm not saying anything that is not true. I
passive
think
aggressive.
Deserve, someone it can be me as other player to talk like him and you know because he's like I said he's our leader. He since the day he got here, the whole organization changed in a better direction. He made this team. Way better. So, like I said, I think there is a hopefully a big chance for him to stay here and not only that, to retire here.
Okay. That one actually might not have been the most forceful.
I think the short one was where he just basically said, you got to pay the man.
He means a lot. He gave a lot to this organization. So now it's time for us to, as a team, as an organization, to pay him back and make him stay here.
Yeah. Quick and to that's the where point. He's like, he saw what
it is time
when he saw the how effective Bagwell's strategy of basically saying what the team needs to do
right.
was.
So
he's going to take that strategy.
Yep.
Okay. In the very small circle of Hall of Fame and Hall of Fame caliber players on the Astros, when I start talking about what the team needs to do,
yeah.
Jim Crane listens.
The texts are very good. Someone said this is the James Harden version of Altuve.
When Harden, oh no, I know.
When yes. Harden sits down and like we're just not very good.
Well, no. It's when Russell Westbrook needs to be the guy.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
the downside of yeah. that, is that when James Harden took over, he basically blew up the team. Yeah, get rid of this Chris Paul weirdo.
Who I wanted He's 2 years no ago.
Yeah, who I wanted before, but
yeah.
now I want Russell Westbrook,
yeah.
which will lead to us getting rid of Clint Capella, and then I'm going to want out ASAP.
Oh.
Yeah, for him to be the James Harden version, yeah. it would have to be that Bregman resigns, and then Bregman goes into a tank forever, but then Altuve ejects himself somehow.
Yeah, Altuve gets traded to the Yankees.
Yeah, dude, don't you ever bring up James Harden's name and Altuve's at the same time.
I disagree.
And remember, you know who had done a couple of extensions without drama? James Harden.
James Harden.
Yeah.
Did. Yeah.
James Harden,
he might be onto
team
something.
Player, didn't make any drama, just kept extending Rockets for life. Yeah.
Text in. All right, we'll do a check-in on the poll I put up. Would you bring Bregman back at 6 years, $151 million? That's the Matt Chapman contract. First quarter report card for the Houston Texans. We're 4 games in. I did mine on the Houston Press yesterday. I want to see if Professor Seth is a harder grader than I am for some of these key positions for the Texans. We will get to that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, I put out my report card on the Houston Press for the Texans at the quarter poll here. And I'm going to pull it up, Seth. I don't think you've seen it. But
just shy of the quarter poll, but just, still.
Yeah, mathematically, this 17-game season messes with things a little bit.
We should do this after the first quarter of the Bills game. I'll do it on a napkin.
Here's a report. A quick selfie video. Yeah.
People like the handwritten tweets during games. Like, I did my keys to victory.
Yeah.
And I had to keep re-ranking them as the game wore on with all the mistakes and penalties and everything. The last week. So my keys to victory changed very rapidly after the first quarter.
They like it. They feel the handwriting is a little more intimate. You know what I mean? Like, they feel like they're sitting with you.
I
right
just like
there.
To show off that I still know how to handwrite, kind of, with a pen and paper.
Cursive?
God, no.
No, me neither.
Dude,
me
I
neither.
Tried to read a cursive letter the other day.
Oh, it's like reading Sanskrit, dude. It's crazy.
And people used to do it all the time.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to these grades. Let's rapid fire these. Quarterback for the Houston Texans, your grade?
My grade?
Your grade.
Mine was a B.
You had a B. I gave CJ an A minus so
okay.
far for this
Yeah,
season.
We had a good discussion about this yesterday. One of the things that I hadn't adjusted for the fact that offense around the league is down so much. I was kind of surprised that the Texans are the eighth best scoring offense right now. It feels like they've been in the middle of the pack in a lot of ways. And yet, this is a year in which, man, everybody's kind of just gunked up offensively.
Yeah.
So... And I'm doing this not as much of a grade of C.J. Stroud himself, but, okay, the quarterback position and what has it done. There are all kinds of reasons why it hasn't been the light show that we thought it was going to be. And I think CJ's done a really good job managing it. But my expectations are higher for him. So if I'm giving him a B. If I had to do it like on a clean slate, given all the circumstances and everything, it would probably be a B plus or an A minus.
Yeah. But
right now, I need to see more out of the offense in total.
I think it's totally
fair.
The
quarterback is the captain of the ship, so the offensive line penalties, the procedural stuff, that all goes back to the quarterback in my mind.
What is your grade for the running back room?
C plus.
Me too.
Oh.
I C plus also.
So if Joe Mixon had been healthy, I think it might be an A right now if he stayed healthy through four games, because the Cam Akers has not done as bad a job as I think it looks on paper. It's that he's not Joe Mixon and can cover up a lot of the blemishes.
Yeah. We'll get to the O-line.
Yeah, so I think Cam Akers would probably, behind a good offensive line, I might be giving him a B or a B plus right now, but he's not the guy that's going to cover up blemishes. And there's times where I think he could have made better decisions and better reads. But it's more of a factor of the whole thing around him right now that he's only been able to do so much.
Yeah, four games in, that C plus is being carried by Mixon's week one performance.
Yeah.
And Dare Ogunbowale kind of being able to provide little things here and there, particularly on the game winning drive against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tight end.
C plus.
I have a C minus for the tight end position. You know, I get wrapped up in the stats probably a little bit more.
Well,
you're better at watching the nuances of what they're doing.
I didn't expect Cade Stover to be a huge presence, and yet he's come up big in some moments. If I include Brevin Jordan in this, Brevin Jordan before he got injured came up in two good moments. Dalton Schultz has been used more conservatively, partly because of the issues with blitz pickup and pass blocking in general.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of instances of him just and where he has to stay in and chip or what have you, and teams are playing zone. It's a lot easier to account for a tight end. So, but he's come up big in big moments.
He came up huge
there at the end of the game and getting
third
that
and three.
First down and then driving even closer to the goal line.
Yes.
So that's a, what did I give him, a B?
You gave him a C plus.
A C plus, okay.
C plus. Yeah. I think you're probably closer than I am. I'm probably being a little hard. I'm thinking of that game Stover had against Minnesota also.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that's not his fault for being put in that position. But he was put in that position. I'm talking about him having a big single block.
Yeah.
Guys like John Grenard.
I'm skewed a little bit just because I thought the tight ends did a better job blocking last week. Yeah. They all need to improve. But yeah, that's it's been ungratifying.
Texans first quarter report card. Wide receiver.
A.
Me too.
And I include any of their production or lack thereof just because the sum total of it all is that, look, Nico's been the guy that's been accumulating the stats and he's been magnificent. He's not having this type of a year if Stephon Diggs isn't on the roster. Nico's really good versus zone, and because he is, I was talking to a guy out of Buffalo yesterday, Mike Catalana, who had covered me when I was a high school player.
Wow!
And you know, it's funny because we're both older guys by now, or middle aged guys. And people are talking about cover two like there's never been a good receiver or quarterback in the era of cover two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you can do something. Back when a lot of receivers looked more like Nico Collins, especially, you can take apart zones. You can throw into the soft spots in zone when you've got the right kind of guy doing it. And Nico is that guy. But if there were no Stephon Diggs, if there were no Tank Dell, he'd be getting bracketed a lot more. He'd be getting manned up with safety help behind him a lot more. But because he is seeing a lot of zone, they can capitalize on that. So it's the sum total with the wide receivers right now. I knew from the beginning that it was very unlikely they were going to have 3,000-yard receivers. And that shouldn't be the gauge that you are judging it by. It should be more so how are defenses accounting for these wide receivers. And so far, they've been sitting back and basically been saying, just go ahead and take the underneath stuff.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and run the ball against us. We just don't want to get bludgeoned to death with the deep ball. So the receivers have had the effect on the defense that they should. The rest of the offense hasn't been able to capitalize on it.
Let's hit the O-line here. Before we do that, 713-572-4610. If you want to weigh in, maybe not with your whole report card, but if there's a certain group that you think is exceedingly good or exceedingly poor, text in with your grades. We're doing the Texans' first quarter report card. O-line.
All right. I had originally given him a C, and then I sat and thought about it, and I'll go to D+.
Okay, I'm a D.
Yeah. The penalties alone, I'm going to give them a little bit of credit for showing improvement in the second half last week.
Yep.
Despite the multiple drives that were ended in a punt, some of them because of offensive line penalties. I think as a whole, they are starting to look more like what I hoped a mediocre version of them could. But they've been the specific reason that too many drives have stalled out.
Yep.
So they're steadily moving upwards in my estimation, but they're certainly not there.
Plenty of room for improvement for sure, and the penalties are all over the paragraph I wrote about them.
Yeah.
When I gave them a D. All right, defensive side of the ball, D line. And so that's everybody. That's the edge and the interior. D line.
I'm going to stick with a C+.
C+?
And I'm grading them on a tough curve too.
Yeah,
I think the pass rush and the run stopping from the interior is not what you really want it to be. But that can't be a complete sum total excuse for the edge positions not really wreaking havoc. It seemed like a polite affair on the defensive line in the pass rush. I think that Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson are getting close, and they're getting pressures, and they're doing all that, but I don't see them careening off the edge as a Tasmanian devil, put fear in the heart of the quarterback force right now.
Yeah, so the pressure has not translated into sacks much as we expected.
Or QB hits.
Yeah.
I don't care whether you get credit for a sack or not. Put some bruises on that dude's body.
And especially this weekend.
The QBs have come out relatively unblemished, other than Sam Darnold.
I gave him a B+, and I already feel like a sap for giving them a B+. That's probably Will Anderson's personality is probably like 80% of that grade for me. I love Will Anderson. Linebackers.
There's only two of them
in the grade.
They're out there playing nickel all the time, and they're going to play a bunch of nickel, but I think the lack of Christian Harris has hamstrung them in the versatility on defense. I'm going to give the linebackers a B right now, though.
That's what I gave them.
I think they've faced some challenges with mobile quarterbacks and play action that put them in a tough spot. But I think just by Al Shire's presence and his leader... Okay, good example. The goal line stand. Because the quarter changed in the middle of that goal line stand, D'Amico talked the other day about talking to Al Shire and tendencies and what they should expect and how the defensive tackle
during that timeout.
And they came up and snuffed it out, partly based on the input of Al Shire. That's the kind of stuff that you don't see necessarily just watching the film, but he's very much that guy.
Yeah.
The consummate middle linebacker that is directing everybody, getting everybody lined up,
I gave them a B also, the linebackers. What about the secondary?
Okay,
so that's corners and safeties. I didn't give
them
up.
First half of the season, I can't ignore Kamari Lassiter getting lucky on a couple of deep balls where he whiffed last week.
Mm-hmm.
I can't ignore the Colts game where they repeatedly, almost habitually, allowed Colts receivers to get behind them in coverage.
Yep.
And yet there's a lot of promise there, especially with the young guys. So as promising young students that they are, I'll give them a B- in the hopes of encouraging them, but not giving them too much credit too
soon. How seriously does Derek Stingley Jr. take being part of a group that just got a B-?
Yeah.
That is the question. I gave him a B, so we're in the same neighborhood there.
Yeah, I can't ignore the cold stuff still looms large.
Well, and Petrie as a nickel, how is that going to work out long term?
I think over the course of the season, there's some predictability that comes with Jalen Petrie being your nickel. Some of his shortcomings in man coverage, teams are going to start to catch on to that.
Yeah.
Like, you guys really like Petrie to be blitzing, but what happens when he doesn't blitz?
Special teams. Taimi, Tommy Townsend, and all the coverage.
Sum total of it, there are two games that they easily could have lost specifically because of special teams.
Agreed.
I got to give them a C minus.
C plus I gave them. Okay. I'll be honest, I haven't watched the return yet. Like the kickoff, like they haven't gotten hurt in the kickoff game much from what I've watched. But those two plays you're talking about, the blocked punt in week one against the Colts and the muffed punt against the Jags this past weekend, those two plays single-handedly kept those games way too close.
This very, very easily, by nothing more than sheer luck, could be a 1-3 football team right now.
Yeah.
And I can point to two glaringly bad examples out of special teams. Now, Kaimi lifts them up out of the D-plus region.
Yes, he does.
So Kaimi's been magnificent.
Been the best kicker in
football. To the point where I worry a little bit that, the whole don't ignore in victory what you would address in defeat was like, Laremy Tunsil turning a 54-yard field goal into a 59-yard field goal, they didn't have to take their medicine on that one.
No.
Because Kaimi kicked the 59-yard field goal.
He covered it up.
You know?
Yep. Text message. O-line, McClain voice, F minus.
F minus,
F minus.
I have a hard time giving Fs after one quarter in a season. Maybe that's a weakness
of
mine.
Well, they haven't, and they've had some moments, you know, like they've been game, you know, D'Amico pointed it out. They protected a little better in this pass game. You know, the week one, they ran for a bunch of yards, although I know you made the point earlier that Mixon probably covers up a lot of things for the O-line.
What do we do? When do we do Circle of Swarm? Is that Friday?
Friday, yeah, tomorrow. Friday.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
I got to start doing my homework on Circle of
tomorrow.
Swarm.
Tomorrow, yeah, me too.
The Cirque du Swarm.
I'm keeping track on our show doc of what our Circle of Swarm is each week, so at the end of the year, we can give out the Swarmies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's it going to look like?
I don't
know. Beehive or something?
Yeah, I don't know. We need the Swarm.
A beehive with a dead Winnie the Pooh laying next to it.
Okay, well,
Winnie the Pooh finally got done in the booth.
Why are you killing everybody, including yourself, today?
That's how I feel after the Astros have been ejected from the playoffs, unceremoniously.
Yep.
Yes.
Seth has a sixth stage of Kubler-Ross where he just wishes
death
on everybody. Everything.
Go die, everybody. Yes.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
That's only today that I'm like that. Not in that four-year-old drop that we use. Yeah. No, I think the Circle of Swarm has to do something with like a hornet's nest with a dead Winnie the Pooh nest.
I love the idea of the Swarmies.
Dead Winnie the Pooh in a Anthony Richardson jersey.
All right.
No, Will Levis.
Will
Levis would be the one that would be dumb enough to
crawl into a beehive.
Will Levis, at some point in his childhood, had a friend say, like, hey, there's honey in that nest up there. And Will Levis is like, oh.
Grabs his jar of mayonnaise to mix with it.
Wearing a little red t-shirt with no underwear and pants underneath it. Yeah.
Hey, Sean and Seth, speaking of linebackers, when is Christian Harris expected to return?
Don't you worry about that.
2028.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, no problem.
It'll be sometime. So he's been activated from the IR, but he's not practicing this week, so it's not going to be this week.
Has he been activated?
Or not activated. Or, oh,
no,
wait,
I don't think.
That?
Yeah, they opened Heinisch's window.
They won't. Okay.
Thank you.
This whole new short-term IR thing is new to me.
He's still there. He's still on IR.
So he's not practicing this week.
No, he's not. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, we've talked about Bregman returning. What about Verlander? What do we do about Justin Verlander? Does Verlander want to keep doing this thing? Is there any scenario where Verlander is a Houston Astro come 2025? That is next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, here's Justin Verlander yesterday after the Astros 5-2 loss to the Tigers. Verlander will not, well, he's done. He's a free agent now. But he wants to keep on pitching.
I do feel like I have a lot more to give pitching-wise. This year is a tough year. I learned a lot from it. And obviously, I talked to you guys about how I was feeling coming back and how I needed to push the issue a bit. Kind of a, weird injury in the neck, and tried as best I could to get out there and be an asset to help this team in October, but wasn't able to do it. Obviously, wasn't pitching well enough to be part of this this series. But having an off season to kind of get things right, I definitely feel like I want to continue to pitch and compete, and I'm not ready to step away yet.
Okay, I mean he's a couple off seasons removed from getting $43 million a year from a team.
Yeah, I see a lot of people on the YouTube chat and on the text line saying, "Hey, offer him not a lowball deal, but whatever, $10 million, and see what he says." And I'm in a weird place with Verlander where I totally get and understand his value, and that he'll probably command a pretty respectable one-year deal somewhere, whatever it might be. But if you look at the way it played out this year, at his age, this is what happens to older players. We're no longer in, okay, well, this was a fluke injury for Verlander or what have you. The guys get injured. And It'd be really easy if he had been injured and also finished the season with a 2.5 ERA or something. It'd be easy for me to say, yeah, but you know what? That Verlander's going to get more than $10 million.
Yeah.
So is it worth having a guy that you have to manage around? Is it worth having a guy that, okay, well, you know what? We're going to have to move this guy who's already having a good season to the bullpen for a while, or we'll have a six-man rotation.
He has to start when he comes
back. Right. And that's what I just don't know. And that's I don't want to say no Verlander no matter how cheap. I'm not that extreme about it. But I think there's more to it than just, well, if you can get him at a good deal, then throw him into the mix. I'm also kind of, right now I'm in a spot where I saw five different starting pitchers on the IL this year.
Yeah.
And I just don't want any more of that.
And
an aging pitcher is going to give you that. Verlander will be on the IL at some point next year.
Seth, bingo. You nailed it. For me, you nailed it. And I love Justin Verlander. He's one of my favorite Astros. It's impossible to overstate what he's meant to this organization since he got here in 2017. He was in many ways a validator that this team was going from being a fun young team, as Peter Schrager would say.
Texans are this fun young team.
Yeah, like the Astros were back in 15 and 16 and the early part of 17. They were a fun young team. Verlander took them over the top and got and helped. He was the ALCS MVP that year, helped them win a World Series. And since then, when he's been on the field and he's been able to pitch, he's by and large, up until this year, been tremendous for this team. That said, you're paying way too many guys already to not pitch for you.
Right.
And have paid too many guys, including Justin Verlander, to not pitch for you.
I would put Verlander's salary and put it in the same bucket as Lance McCullers.
Yeah.
When you've got a guy who'll be 42 years old and just obviously wasn't just injured this year, but wasn't pitching well when he was trying to recover from injury.
That's right.
So not only do you risk the time lost by Verlander, but when he comes back in,
what if he sucks?
You gotta pitch him.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, a guy, I don't know, Arrighetti or somebody else gets, or Blanco, it was good. It worked out well because of Blanco this year that he did need some more rest.
Yeah.
And yet you weren't getting what you needed out of Verlander at the same time.
I would bring Kikuchi back before I brought Verlander.
Oh
back.
Yeah, 1,000,000%.
And he's probably more expensive
than Verlander. Price tag.
You know, I get it, but let's say I'd bring Kikuchi back at 15 to 20 million before I brought Verlander back for whatever the price tag was on Verlander.
You know what? If Lance McCullers didn't exist and his contract wasn't there and everything else, I might be more forgiving of it. But we're talking about that position. You're already burning money on McCullers.
Well, and Javier?
Right. But at least those guys, you can, like, Javier and Urquidy, I expect to come back. McCullers, I just have no idea how to feel about.
Yeah.
And I almost look at it like purely dead money.
I don't know if I expect Javier to be. I'm just looking at 2025.
Well, not immediately, but like in the organization and moving forward, you got control with those guys.
No, I agree with that. I'm just looking at 2025 in a vacuum.
And so you're right. Javier.
He's not going to pitch next year, probably.
So with Javier. And Garcia, too.
Yeah.
Or if they do, it's on the back end of the season.
Yeah.
And not certainly in a full-time starter
role. Lance is $17 million. Javier's $13
million.
Yeah. You know,
you take that whole bucket of pitchers that probably aren't going to be available, and you add Verlander onto that. It's just too much uncertainty.
An injury-prone guy. Yeah. You can't do that. There was a funny Altuve text. I got to find it. Here it is. We were talking earlier. We were playing a bunch of Altuve audio. Altuve wants Bregman back here really badly, to the point where he is saying things that I think put pressure on the organization to bring Bregman back. This was the one we determined. This is the shortest of all the cuts, but boy, he packed a wallop in this 8 to 10 seconds right here.
He means a lot. He gave a lot to this organization, so now it's time for us to, as a team, as an organization, to pay him back and make him stay here.
Okay, make him stay.
Make him stay here.
So we're like making. So we were joking around that there's this metaphorical room, this conference room, where Altuve calls the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
He brings in Crane.
Mm-hmm.
He brings in Bregman. The texter has him bringing
Reggie Jackson.
In several other people. Yeah, here's the text. This is a transcript. Crane, you're going to pay Bregman. Breggy, you're going to sign the deal. Dana, you're going to find an above average first baseman and center fielder. Bagwell, you're going to bring me a donut and a chocolate milk. All. Yes, Mr. Altuve. Bagwell, voice squeaking. Do you want sprinkles, sir?
I'm uncomfortable with the way that Bagwell has been.
It's a text.
Oh, don't worry. I'm not playing holier than thou or anything. Look, this is a different version of Altuve than we've ever seen before.
Wait, hang on. He had Altuve glaring disgustedly at Bagwell about the sprinkles question. All right, continue.
I think that this is an Altuve. He flat out said in the six different sound bites we played at various points, he's basically commanding the Astros to get the deal done.
Yes.
And commanding Alex Bregman to get the deal done.
Yes.
He's just flat out, he's had enough and he's not taking it anymore.
From anybody.
He's going to go into that, you know, he's going to do in that meeting. He's going to take his shoe off and start pounding it like Khrushchev on the table. That's what he does now. He took his shoe off when he got hit in the foot and the ump didn't see it.
Oh my God. Yes.
To be like the dude that threw the shoe at George W. Bush.
George W.
Jim Crane does a little ducking.
Oh, my God. Text message. I'm going to keep saying it. Rip the Band-Aid off. No more Altuve. No more Bregman. No more Verlander. We have too many young players. Okay, we have too many young players that need to play and develop. Sir, I'll need names. We have too many young players that need to play and develop. I mean, we have a few. Too many? Who are your solutions for the third base and second base spots, good sir? They're not tearing it down. You can send in your tear it down text. I'm not going to stop you from doing that. And you're entitled to your opinion, obviously. They ain't tearing it down. Like Jim Crane, it's not in his DNA to tear it down. I'm curious if it's in his DNA to do the reset you're talking about, where you just take a step back for a year and kind of reset.
It's not a hard reset. The Bills are kind of in a reset year this year.
Yeah.
And they're still playing very effective football.
Yeah.
The Chiefs were in a reset year last year. They won the Super Bowl. Yeah. Like you don't have to, because now so many teams have embraced tanking, or at least partly tanking, mm-hmm. it doesn't have the same benefit that it used to.
Right.
And it also means that you can have a reset. You can be the Tigers, you can do whatever without having to like fully plummet to the bottom of the depths of nowhere. And I think that's a little bit of where the Astros are right now. So now I'm kind of stuck in. I've got a power ranking of baller presidential moments that I was thinking of. Because regardless of how you feel about the presidents themselves, mm-hmm. whether they're Democrat, Republican, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Just don't judge the whole presidency. I don't care. I got to come up with a bipartisan baller, because W's got a couple of them.
He's got the
throwing
pitch
out the first pitch at the World Series
after 9/11,
throwing a strike, and then also dodging the shoe, and then coming back up and looking like ready to go.
Yeah,
that was pretty badass.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Okay, I'll go through all the previous presidents.
Bipartisan badass presidential moments.
Teddy Roosevelt got shot and finished his speech. That was a baller moment.
That's a baller. Yeah.
With a bullet lodged in his ribs.
Yeah.
I think that was when he came. I think that was after he'd already been a president and then was coming back to run again. So that counts as a, even though he wasn't, I don't think he was president at the time.
I'll double check with the Teddy Roosevelt impersonator that I had brunch with.
That's
in
right.
Medora,
yeah.
North
Text
Dakota.
Him. Do you have his phone number?
No, we connected on Instagram. I'll shoot it. I'll slip into his DMs.
Text in your baller presidential moments.
No, this ought to be
and
good.
It has to be. Just make it bipartisan. Don't,
good luck.
Don't make it about anything else. Yeah.
Ben. All right.
Actually, and then go back, not even bipartisan. We can go back to the Whigs and the Federalists and
there
everything.
You go.
Any party at all.
That's right. All right. Payne and Pendergast. Anonymous player poll with The Athletic. There is some good stuff in here. They polled 110 NFL players. Who's the next active player to win an MVP? Favorite NFL road trip, least favorite, most annoying player in the NFL. Did any Texans get votes for most annoying player in the NFL?
Oh, no.
The answer is yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we didn't hear who it was.
Not our guys?
Yeah, our guys are annoying to some people.